The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Denver, four-man rush. Quick throw outside. The ball is intercepted. Intercepted by the Broncos down the east sideline. This is going to be a house call. That is Jaquan McMillan.
Winston with Nick Chubb to his left. Play fake. Winston throws in the end zone and throws it to Cody Barton. And Barton's got a chance to house call. Barton down the east sideline. They catch him at midfield. Oh. Cody Barton. For Cody Barton, that's his second interception of the season. And that will do it with 34 seconds to go.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Logan with the calls on the Broncos Radio Network. The good news is they moved to 8 wins. And if you're a Broncos fan, this feels like a long time coming since Super Bowl 50. A lot of losing records, a lot of changes at coach and quarterback, and gosh, pretty much every position on the field. So there's that. The 8-5 record with 3 consecutive wins. A rookie quarterback that continues to get better. Bad news is 500 plus yards to the Cleveland Browns and Jameis Winston and Jerry Jeudy. Wowzers. I don't know if this was a thumbs up performance from the Broncos defense or thumbs down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's welcome Brandon Cristall, longtime Broncos insider in the Mile High City, working now for Guerrilla Sports. And Brandon, what would you say, thumbs up or thumbs down for the defense?
Well, I think, Amy, two things can be true, right? It was certainly way too many big plays, way too much yardage for Sean Payton and Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, for them to, you know, really smile about. But the pick six from Jaquan McMillan, the pick six from Nick Benito, and then that late interception from Cody Barton, as well as some good pressure and getting off the field at times to give the offense a chance, all of that, I think you have to say it was both really bad at times and really good at times for the Broncos defense, which has been, for the most part, really good this year.
How did Jerry Jeudy find so much room to run?
Well, Riley Boss has a knee injury that's going to have him on the shelf, not just for this game. He got hurt against the Raiders last week. He's going to, I think, miss some time even after the bye, which is coming up now for the Broncos. The latest bye Sean Payton has ever had, Amy, he says that he can remember since he's been a head coach. So they likely won't have Riley Moss for the Colts, and maybe not even on that Thursday night game right after they play the Colts when they go to L.A. to take on the Chargers on the 19th. But no Riley Moss, and Levi Wallace went from looking like an okay fill-in for PS2 earlier in the year when Pat Surtain got a concussion to a guy who's over the hill based on what you saw. Because when Jerry Jeudy wasn't covered by Pat Surtain, Jerry Jeudy, I believe, had 34 routes against PS2, only 2 catches for 20 yards. in his other 23 routes against mostly Levi Wallace and then a combination of other Broncos defenders, he had 215 yards on 7 catches, including that 70-yarder, and looked like the guy that the Broncos expected when they drafted him in the first round 5 years ago, that he was going to play like a perennial Pro Bowler, you know, throughout his career. And we know he never got on track really here in Denver, but he looked awesome, and it had the Broncos scratching their head for sure.
Looking back at his time in Denver, why do you think it didn't work out?
It was a combination of things, and Jerry talked about it more so last week, the other day when he was asked about his time in Denver, and he said, look, I definitely dropped some balls early in my career, and he battled through some injuries, but then there were also times where he would be running open, and whether it was Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock or Russell Wilson, he wouldn't get the ball thrown his way. And then a couple times he did, and it happened later in his career with Russell Wilson too. I say later, but in his time here in Denver, where he didn't haul in some big catches, including in a Monday night game in Buffalo last year where Cortland Sutton, we know, had some huge catches, but Jerry Jeudy dropped a couple that should have been for either big games or for a score. And so he just never found his footing. He thought he'd be traded 2 years ago, perhaps, last year at the trade deadline. I remember talking to him at his locker. He's like, hey, if I'm here, great. And if I'm not, also great. It's not that big of a deal. And so the Browns obviously saw something in him. They gave him a nice extension and really were paying off potential. And when given the opportunity, especially tonight against his former team, I saw where he had more yards against the former team than any player ever against the team they once played for.
We know they've had a revolving door of coaches and coordinators and quarterbacks, of course, since their last playoff appearance, which was Super Bowl 50, the end of Peyton Manning and DeMarcus. So when we're talking about the Broncos now and this forward momentum, let's talk Sean Payton first. How has he changed the culture in Denver?
Well, Sean Payton, for all the things that maybe people don't like about him, is confidence or arrogance or whatever you want to call it, is creativity as a play caller and maybe similar to Andy Reid, where sometimes they get perhaps a little too cute instead of just taking maybe the easier opportunity in terms of just a play design or a play call or a circumstance. And it was funny seeing Kadarius Toney out there tonight with the Browns, because I go back to the Thursday night game last year where you've got Patrick Mahomes, you got Travis Kelce, but Andy Reid is going to snap it to Kadarius Toney, who ends up losing the ball inside the 10-yard line. And so Sean Payton has some of that, but what he also has is time in the league around a bunch of different coaches, but mostly around Bill Parcells, and then 15, 16 years running the show in New Orleans and helping establish a culture there and doing things a certain way with things he picked up at the Giants and at the Eagles and certainly with Parcells at the Cowboys, and seeing the way Jerry Jones handled things from an ownership standpoint in terms of the resources that you give your coaching staff and your personnel staff and your players. And so the Broncos had a lot of that in place, and then you had a new ownership group, which has more money than any ownership group. And Sean and them have been on the same page since they hired him, even though you heard plenty of reporting out there that perhaps Jim Harbaugh might have been higher on their list or was as high, or perhaps D'Amico Ryans was some people's favorite choice when you talked about that ownership group. But Sean has won a lot of games. And what I saw Amy last year, or talking to people at the Combine after coming off the rough year with Russell Wilson and the expectation that he was going to be released, as he ultimately was the reverence that people have for Sean around the league is second to none. And I think it's because he was somewhere for a decade and a half and was so consistent and won so many games. And I get Drew Brees and a lot of his other players had a lot to do with it, but Sean's still the guy whose name's at the top of the masthead, if you will, at the top of the top of the organization, other than just the ownership and the GM. But Sean, you know, certainly has more control here than perhaps even.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did in New Orleans, and he just needed to come in and get things kind of smoothed out after, like you mentioned, all the different head coaches, all first-time head coaches that you had back-to-back-to-back after Gary Kubiak walked away a year following Super Bowl 50 in 2016. You had Vance Joseph, you had Vic Fangio, then you had 1 year Nathaniel Hackett, all first-timers. Sean knows what he likes and knows what he doesn't, and he knows how to relate to players and talk to players and get the most out of his players. And so it's clearly working, and now he's got a young quarterback, something he hasn't ever really had, a rookie quarterback, that is reminding people, especially if you follow Chase Daniel on Twitter, of Drew Brees.
Brandon Cristello is with us from Denver, covering the Broncos, now 8-5 for Gorilla Sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Why is Bo Nix the right quarterback finally for this team after a search that goes back to Super Bowl 50?
I think that it's the perfect pairing of coach and quarterback. And, you know, I touched on Andy Reid. I think Patrick Mahomes would have been good in a lot of situations. I think a lot of us do. But being able to come in and spend a year around Alex Smith and then his entire career with Andy Reid clearly has been obviously great for Patrick Mahomes. And you look at Bo Nix, and I mentioned the Drew Brees comparison. Chase Daniel tweeted that during the game, and Chase has admitted that he is leading the charge for Bo Nix for Rookie of the Year. Now, it feels like a two-man race, with apologies to Brock Bowers. Jaden Daniels might have edged ahead, even though both teams won this week, and Bo certainly made some nice throws in the game tonight. But Jaden Daniels' numbers are a little more impressive, and so they're neck and neck. But Chase tweeted during the game today that, hey, I spent 5 years with Drew Brees, and to see what Bo Nix is doing, he's turning into Drew Brees as a rookie in terms of understanding what Sean Payton wants Bo Nix. And, you know, I think I mentioned the combine. Chris Sims talked about it at the combine. I remember talking with Chris about why Bo Nix would be the perfect fit for Sean because of how he processes things so quickly and because he's athletic enough and has a good enough arm, but an understanding of the offense. And so as his offense has evolved, Amy, it hasn't been – some of it is a comfort level with Bo. He did talk about that after that Falcons game where he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week and threw the four touchdowns and no picks and didn't get sacked. And he said things are slowing down before the snap and after the snap. But even going into the year, he was comfortable with the playbook and the volume of plays. It was more just about comfort on the field with sure. The players, with the playbook and all that. And so I think the reason he's having success and clearly is going to be the guy here for a while, if not for a really long while, decade plus, is because of the traits he has that fit perfectly for what Sean Payton wants out of his quarterback.
How much excitement is there in Denver for a team that appears to be a contender with forward momentum? I want to be careful how I say it because I know it's fleeting in the NFL, but 8 wins is 8 wins. That's more they've had in a long time.
They go to Kansas City and they have the Chiefs beat. The defense plays great. They keep Patrick Mahomes and company in check, and then obviously that field goal got blocked, but they could be sitting here at 9-4 and in even in better shape. But I think what you're seeing from this fan base, and you saw it even in training camp and throughout the preseason when Bo was playing well, admittedly against sometimes second and third teamers, but executing what they were calling as he got into the season and even a little bit in the preseason, you saw his athleticism, you saw his speed was maybe more than anybody that didn't watch every Auburn or Oregon game more than they realized that he possessed. He's not Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, but faster probably than a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And so I think because it's been, like you mentioned, 8 long years now into the 9th season without a playoff appearance, we'll see if that snapped, and they're obviously in control of that destiny, sitting 2 games clear of the Colts as it stands, knowing they have the Colts and Bengals, among others, on their schedule here to close it out after the bye week. The fans here don't expect the Broncos to win the Super Bowl this year, but they do expect them to make the playoffs and take a step forward that they haven't taken in a long time with good talent on both sides of the ball and a young quarterback. I get that he's not the youngest at 24, and he'll be 25 soon, but a guy that they can finally, they like to say, believe in for lack of a better term, because it's been this revolving door and Russell Wilson didn't work out and Teddy Bridgewater and Case Keenum and Drew Locke and certainly Paxton Lynch. And we could add a few more to that list. But the point is they haven't had anyone to believe in, let alone believe in. And so while no one is confusing Bo Nix with Patrick Mahomes, and as Sean said after he played well against Atlanta, we're not putting this kid in Canton just yet. he's making enough plays. He's got enough moxie. He's obviously got the ability to run this offense that fans, for the first time, are excited about being excited, if that makes sense. And so I think they understand that they got to see John Elway's entire 16-year Hall of Fame career and got the last 4 years of Peyton Manning's amazing career. So the idea that they could just have their guy again for 5, 8, 10, perhaps even longer, potentially, if it all goes well, is exciting because it just hasn't been that in so long.
Right. Brandon, before I let you go, what's your reaction to what you're seeing with Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh?
I'm not surprised there either, and part of it is a credit not only to Mike Tomlin, who we know sets a tone there and is as good a coach as there is in the NFL, but also to Arthur Smith, because they're not running Arthur Smith's offense exactly the way I imagine he'd love to run it. And that's the thing about Russell Wilson, is he has always been able to make something out of nothing, that it's sometimes hard to keep an offense on time, on schedule, which is something that Sean Payton's offense requires. But with Russ, because they have such a good defense and good skill players, George Pickens, when his head's right, is as talented a wideout as there is, and good runners behind him, Russ can go out and make enough plays. And we saw what he was able to do this past week against the Bengals, throwing for 400 yards. And just like Jameis tonight threw technically for 6 touchdowns, Russ threw for 4 to his own team and 1 to another team. But I'm not surprised. And so it won't surprise me if the Steelers come back and offer Russ a 2 or 3 year deal if they make the kind of playoff run that they're capable of. Here's what will be really funny to me, is if the playoff seeding falls the way it might, there's a scenario where the Broncos could go to Pittsburgh in wild card weekend. And
nice.
you have to agree with me that that will be the Monday night capper to wild card weekend, with the 2 Saturday games, 3 Sunday games. We will almost certainly, if that's the matchup, see the Broncos in the Steel City taking on Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's too good to be true for the TV writers out there, but it would be great to see.
From the category of you can't make this stuff up. Absolutely. All right, good stuff. Broncos on the right track. Sean Payton has definitely changed the culture. Maybe they found their franchise QB. Should he stay healthy? And another big victory, this time inside the AFC, should there be tie breaks. All right, you can find Brandon online at BK Denver Sports. Now with Gorilla Sports, longtime Broncos insider from the Mile High City. I don't know that he needed oxygen, but there was plenty of it flowing on the sidelines for this game. Thanks so much, Brandon. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Amy. I appreciate it.